saw on your Instagram you put like your hats in a drawer.
Yeah.
Is that like, is that so you know not to wear them again so you don't reuse anything?
No, that's all the new ones.
Oh, that's all the new ones?
Yeah, that's right at my front door.
Ah.
And so I walked down.
Because Mike and I were trying to figure that out. What was it, last week or something like that?
Yeah, so I've got this, Amy put this dresser right at the front door. It's got all my glasses, sunglasses, regular glasses, all my hats, toboggans, gloves, all the shit's in there. Perfect. Yeah.
That is
so good. That's half of the hats. Like, if I could fit more hats, I would. That's only half of them. I got more upstairs.
That is a great place for hats. I swear.
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
Because it's like you're always running out the door.
Yep.
Oh, I forgot something.
Yep.
You don't have to go far.
It's like a coat rack.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one thing we don't got downstairs is coats. And we've got a coat closet, and she wants me to get the coats out of it. I'm like, I don't understand. That's what the freaking closet's for. But anyhow, same way at the beach house. We got a beach house with a utility closet and a hanging space for jackets. And she says, don't hang your coats in there. I'm like, well, they take up so much damn room in your closet, right?
Yeah.
If you got a small closet, you want to put your coats in the coat closet in the hall, right? That's what it's all designed for, I thought.
This is also going on in my house. My wife keeps taking my coats off the coat rack by the door and putting them...
In your closet.
In my closet because she says they're too heavy for the coat rack. And I'm like...
Then what's the point of the coat rack?
Yeah. It's too heavy. It's not like I got cinder blocks attached to them.
Yeah.
Why can't my coats be on the coat rack?
Yeah. I don't understand. There's a...
Justice for Mike's coat.
Yeah. What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? I mean, I guess the...
The wives are crossing the line.
Well, I mean, you know, they wield a certain amount of power, and they are changing the use functionality of the coat closet. It is now right before our eyes becoming something completely different, and we must adapt.
We or do something about it.
Probably not.
Well, I want you to do it first.
Yeah, probably not going to do anything about it.
Next thing, our toolbox is going to turn into a makeup kit.
Mine's a liquor cabinet, so I kind of liked that change.
What do you think? Did he get him?
Am I hungover?
What? What?
Nah, a little slightly.
We don't know what we're doing here.
Are you kidding me, Mike?
Welcome back to another episode of the Dale Jr. Download. It's Thursday, March the 9th, 2023, episode 423. Every time we come in here to do this show, Mike, we've been trying to come up with a name, and every time there's a new name on the top of the show sheet. Today's name is the Honey Roast. What is that all about?
It's just because, you know, we talk so highly of our guest after the show. It's like a little bit of a honey roast. And then, you know, I don't know if you want to talk shit about somebody after, we can change it to just the roast. But
the roast?
Yeah.
All right. So I don't know if honey roast is going to stick. What do you think?
I've never heard of it. Yeah. Is the honey roast
never
a thing?
It's a southern thing.
Is it?
How did I know that and you guys didn't?
I have no clue. Never heard
That's
it.
A southern thing.
I thought it was because me and Amy were doing the questions. It was like a honey.
Oh, that
roast.
Would make more sense.
Well, that makes more sense, but didn't come through my mind. But
all right. Well, anyways, we're gonna have to keep working on this name.
Damn, over two.
Yeah,
but keep doing it because I got
more in the chamber.
You know what? Yeah,
I got more in the chamber. Don't worry.
And the name of the show changing every week is kind of comical. So, anyways, back at the Bojangles studio and reacting to a great interview with Tyler Reddick yesterday. Tyler's a lot of fun to talk to. Guy is, I mean, he comes in with a great attitude. I love the fact that he goes on door bumper clear, and I hope that it encourages other drivers to do so, because it's kind of that show. It's that show where the drivers can go and goof around and be themselves. And not that they can't do that on this show, but those door bumper clear guys are goofballs, and that's kind of what the thing is.
Yeah,
but
I like to think that we get the best out of drivers and they get the worst out of drivers.
There you go. Well, I hope that Tyler will encourage others to come over to Dirty Mo Media and see some of our folks. But, you know, one thing that we didn't get to, I want to point out right away. He said early in the interview, the road ran out a couple times. Talking about, we never, you know, the interviews that we usually do, Mike, are typically, hey man, how did you get your start? Let's walk through your career. And you know, we kind of we still like to do those interviews, but sometimes, especially when we get current drivers in, you kind of want to ask them about the now, like what's going on in the sport.
Of course.
And but there was one thing that he mentioned is talking about his career or his younger days, is the road ran out a few times. He almost felt like that there were points where his career just about fizzled to nothing. And man, I wanted to ask him about that. He's a busy man. He had to run to do other things, had some meetings, and doing all, you know, we talked about that, how busy he has become and how difficult that is, how difficult the life is of a Cup driver. It is, I got to be honest, man, I would not cut it.
Well, you actually mentioned when you asked him yesterday about, how did you say it? Oh, does he have a tendency to get lazy when he's in the sim? Is that how you asked it? I can't remember. But yeah. When he's in the sim, in his answer was no, he's treating it like he's in a real car. I'm just thinking back to if you were in the sim as often as they are, what would you be saying? And I absolutely understood that question. I understood that you would be like, God, because as much as you hated testing.
I know. I've done the sim, and there were moments when there's this weird thing that happens when you're in the sim, okay? You go there, you're excited to do it out of the gate because if you like sim racing at all, like I did, it's just a big sim. It's just you're going to sim race, but you're going to run laps by yourself. You're not going to be racing other people online like you do at home. But it's still really cool technology, so you're kind of excited to climb into this thing and drive. After about 30 minutes, that's when the work begins. And they're like, hey, man, you feel like you've got a grasp of how to get around the racetrack and do this repeatedly all day long and run pretty much the same line. Yes, okay, now the work begins. And there's times when you're sitting there driving the car and you're like, are we learning anything? Are we absolutely learning anything here? Is all of this for a waste of time? You have those thoughts. Anytime that you're ever doing something and that crosses your mind, it's a dangerous little space to be in. Am I wasting my time? And because you're on the cusp of completely checking out. And so, you know, there were times at a real test when I would get so damn frustrated because either we weren't making the car faster, we weren't fixing the problem that I had in the middle of the corner, or whatever it was, you know, and you're looking at the time sheets and you're not getting faster, everybody else is improving, and you get so mad and frustrated that you're no longer productive. And you, whether you think you did or not, you've sort of checked out and you're no longer you're kind of wasting your time. And so if that can happen on a real track and a real test and real practice, absolutely, in a sim closed off in a building, you can certainly think, man, are we silly for doing this? There are some moments when I've had that kind of cross my mind, but I was happy to hear his response that it has become a bigger tool, a more critical tool. It is so important that they treat it, professionally and squeak every ounce of information they can. If he's willing to go through 10 ideas and find even one that works, he says it's worth the time. I was happy to hear that because I think it validates my point that sim racing, iRacing, driving a sim, all of those things are a nice tool to real-world drivers. And so I'm telling you, man, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, I was laughed at when I would tell people that I thought iRacing could make them a better race car driver.
By me.
Yeah.
I admit it. And I had no idea, of course, that it would be I wouldn't even call it a valuable tool. I'd call it an essential resource now, the way the teams are using it.
Yeah.
I got a question for you, and I got a reason for asking this question, but I'm not going to tell you the reason. I'm just going to ask it. When you think back to Tyler Reddick's tenure here at Junior Motorsports, what do you think back to? Like what the championship would be the
I'll
obvious
tell you right
season.
Now.
Go ahead.
So, Tyler, we had an appearance, and Tyler showed up hungover, and he felt miserable, and watched him during that appearance, and I didn't say a word to him. But I was watching him, and he knew that I knew he wasn't feeling good, and he knew that I knew why. Tyler Reddick came up to me at the end of the day and said, "This will never happen again. I promise you this. I will never be in this situation again. I'm sorry. And, you know, I will not let you down. And I was really taken aback because, you know, typically drivers don't do that. Typically they, you know, they show up hungover or show up unprepared or whatever, right? Or just generally don't show any interest at all in at a sponsor function. It's disappointing, but they don't come up to you and apologize, or they don't have enough self-awareness, right? But he did. He said, "Man, I've made a mistake, and I will never do this again. And I promise you that I'm going to grow from this." And he did. He went in and backed that up. And I mean, over the next 3 or 4 years after he moved on from us, he continues to be better off the track, be a better person, work harder, be more accountable, be available to his team. That was the one thing that I think I was worried most about him, was that he had the talent and the ability. He had plenty of raw ability to drive a race car, but did he really understand how to take the rest of it seriously? And would he adapt? Would he apply all of the things, all the resources around him? Would he use them, right? The training and the studying, the note taking that he says he's trying to get better at, all of those things, would he apply it? A team like Hendrick Motorsports, for example, they're not going to walk up to you and say, and this is for every driver out there listening, teams, me too, all right, at Junior Motorsports, nobody's going to come up to you and go, "I want you to train this much, I want this much note taking, and I want this much time allocated to X, Y, and Z." You're supposed to figure that out. You're supposed to know that. You're supposed to want to do more than adequate, right? And so nobody was going to walk up to him and go, you need to do this amount of this and this amount of this and this amount of this during the week. He was supposed to figure that out, and he did. And so, you know, if you don't take the notes and you don't, you know, you – at Hendrick Motorsports, you might have one driver that would come up with 4 pages of information after the race for his crew chief, and then another driver that might hand in 1 page of just, you know, a couple sentences and a couple of brief comments. They would even give you a piece of paper with the questions on it. Tell me about this. Tell me about that. Tell me about this. Explain this. Explain that. And so some drivers are going to really pour in and give you more than you need, which is what everyone should try to strive to do. And some drivers might not even fill it out at all. And were they ever going to come to you and go, "You got to do this"? No. They were just going to find somebody who would.
Wow.
And so
this is such a great observation.
Well, that was the one thing with him, right? He could be amazing behind the wheel, but if he doesn't figure out the rest of it, you'll find somebody that will.
Yeah.
Right? And so just like if you find, you know, I can have a fast race car driver, but if he crashes my car 3 out of 4 weeks, I'm going to find a guy who don't crash it. He might be a little slower, but he damn sure crashes less. That's good. You know, so you weren't going to say, "Hey, stop crashing." You would just find the non-crashing driver. And so, you know, it's fascinating to me that he's self-aware. The thing about him getting himself out of the car at Martinsville, it's just he's got good self-awareness. And hopefully that serves him going forward.
The thing I remember about that year when he won the championship for Junior Motorsports is that year, appearances and hangovers aside, it wasn't gravy. Even the competition folks, you know, there, especially in the summer, there was some rocky road there between them. And, you know, I think it's fair to say that there were folks, you know, that are important folks here in this organization that weren't quite sure. I don't know. Weren't quite sure about Tyler Reddick, and this is even before he announced he was leaving to go to RCR. The reason I remember that so well is that nobody thought he was going to go off and win a championship. Like, there were other drivers in this organization that were far more likely to win a championship than he was, especially the summer that he had, where he just couldn't string together some good races, good performances, and he was getting down on himself, and I think he was losing confidence. And then he comes and rallies, and then wins this damn thing, which was unbelievable. But I remember none of us really knew how to celebrate that because he was leaving. And there was a, you know, kind of a a weird summer. And so like that was, I guess the point is I've never knew how to express how much we appreciated the effort that he did, not just to win a championship, but to rebound from all that was against him during that year.
Got to give, RCR a lot of credit, because when he left here, he wasn't finished. He wasn't a finished product. He still had some work to do, right, on getting better and becoming better. And they give him an environment where he continued to improve, right?
Yeah.
He did that for himself, but they also – he, you know, some cultures might not – you know, he could have went the other way. He might not encouraged him to continue to improve, but they continued to surround him with – you know, the support and the motivation to continue to get better off the racetrack, and they did have a fantastic year to win that championship.
I'm glad you asked him the question at the end about does he pay attention to Kyle Busch. I think that we're all thinking it, and we don't even know how to ask it. And I thought he gave a pretty honest answer, but like that's such an important thing. You want to know how your old team and your old company and all this stuff is doing. You damn sure pay attention to it.
Yeah, I love that answer as well. He's a great interview. If you stop in your question and say, "Hey, man, I wonder if you'll answer this honestly," that small little challenge is all he needs.
Yeah.
And so he's a good fun interview, and thinks about, you know, he contemplates his answers and tries to you know, give you something, you know, interesting to hear. And I really appreciate that about him. So he's going to be fun to talk to going forward.
Hey everyone, Dirty Mo Media President Mike Davis here, excited to tell you about one of our newest sponsors at Dirty Mo, Airbnb. The irony here is that Airbnb is new to Dirty Mo Media, but Dirty Mo Media is not new to Airbnb. It has been accommodating us for years. And if you are a race fan, and I think you are, you know why. I mean, you've booked hotels at during a race weekend. The prices are insane. You're stuck with these unreasonable multi-night minimums, whereas Airbnb, you got many choices, all within proximity, and it ends up being way more affordable. Now, I'm not only a frequent Airbnb guest, but my wife and I are also Airbnb hosts. And you should be too. We've been doing it for years. I'll tell you why. We have an investment property that we realized it could be earning additional income through Airbnb. You don't have to have an investment property to do that. You could just find extra space in your home. That works too. It all could be making you some extra cash. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Dale Jr. Download is brought to you by ZipRecruiter.
You going to any concerts this summer, man?
I am. I'm seeing a concert in June. Hardy and Kit Moore.
Love Hardy.
In Charlotte. I was so stressed getting the tickets. I'm going to be front row. I'm in the pit. When these tickets go out, man, I am online as soon as tickets open. I don't want to miss a thing.
Yeah, you know, you got to act quick.
Yes.
And when you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for a business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr.
ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
One of the things I talked about Tuesday, the Cars Tour season opener is this week. The Cars Tour season begins. Southern National Speedway is our first stop. We have talked about all of the news surrounding the Cars Tour late model stock and pro late model series. And now that I'm an investor, we're going to be talking about, you know, what's going on in that throughout the year from time to time. But if you want to watch it live, Southern National Speedway is where you need to go. Or you can tune in to Flow. And you can buy basically the yearly subscription to get everything at Flow, including the Cars Tour. It's affordable, in my opinion, for what you get and everything you get to see. And so this is a great time for us to drop into our Short Track Insider segment. Hannah Newhouse has all the goings on in the grassroots racing across the country.
Welcome back to another edition of Short Track Insider. And before we get to what to watch this upcoming weekend, and trust me, there is plenty of it, let's talk about what you might have missed this past weekend. A big race down at Cherokee Speedway with the Southern All-Star Series. It was Chris Ferguson who won big at Cherokee in the Ginger Owens Memorial, taking home a $20,000 check. His cousin, Carson Ferguson, came home second, a battle of the families down there at the Southern Racetrack. Also, Hickory Motor Speedway opened up their season. Their local late model stock division ran two late model stock features. Man, some carnage taking place in those features, but it was Doug Barnes Jr. sweeping both of them. And then, of course, if you watched and listened last weekend, well, it was the Battle of the Stars at New River All-American Speedway, really headlining late model stock racing over the weekend. And it was Brendan Queen, Butterbean, better known in the world of late model stock racing, who took home the $20,000 paycheck in his first ever start there. Coming up this weekend, though, man, there is plenty to be talking about. And the first thing that comes to the mind of everyone on the docket is the Cars Tour season opener is finally here. They're going to headline their season at the Southern National Motorsports Park right outside of the Charlotte area. All of those races, again, we've talked about it, are on Flow Racing this year. It's a huge opportunity. A lot of people already have Flow Racing downloaded for many other facets of racing, and now the Cars Tour able to add that. So they'll kick off this weekend their full schedule, and they recently also announced the new voices of the tour being Eric Brennan and Blake McCandless. And, you know, I'm going to make a connection here for you. Eric, of course, a voice around the Southern region, but Blake is one of those stories that comes from iRacing. You know, we've seen drivers now getting the opportunity to drive real race cars coming from the world of sim racing. And Blake is one of those announcers now coming from the world of iRacing and sim racing and now getting the chance to be the voice of the Cars Tour. We caught up for them before this weekend's race, and here's what he had to say.
You know, I tried really hard to just think of one driver, but I got to go with two drivers that I'll be watching this weekend. First off, I think you have to keep your eye on Brendan Butterbean Queen, the winner of the South Carolina 400 last fall, a newcomer to the Cars Tour, touring 12 this year, and even this past weekend won the $20,000 to win Battle of the Stars at New River All-American Speedway, beat a number of Cars Tour's competitors to do it. I just think the hot streak that he's built up with Lee Pulliam Performance very early on in that partnership, going to be very tough to beat. So definitely keep your eye on Brendan Butterbean Queen. But I think if we're talking about Southern National, if we're talking about this area in Central North Carolina, you can't go any further without mentioning Deke McCaskill, the 2016 series champion. Two of his nine wins in the Cars Tour have come at this racetrack, and has just been so strong at Wake County Speedway and Southern National over the years. I mean, he was winning limited late model races at Southern National in 1994 when most of this field wasn't born yet. So I think in terms of a young star, you got to go with Brendan Queen. And if you're going with a veteran, got to go with Deke McCaskill this weekend.
Man, plenty of big hitters headed to Southern National Motorsports Park, and I'm excited to tune in this weekend. Hear both Eric and Blake, and of course, watch the racing unfold, because while the season may seem long in the grand scheme of it, it's not. And a lot of guys looking to get their foot off on the right start this weekend at Southern National Motorsports Park. Also this weekend down in Florida is the Sunshine State 200 with the ASA All-Star Series. And again, if you're unfamiliar, that All-Star Series is a national touring super late model series sanctioned by ASA and kind of a conglomerate of CRA as well. All of the big super late model series came together, took all of the big key marker super late model races, and essentially made it a super late model series national tour. So that race starting this weekend down at Five Flags, you can watch that on Racing America. Also, weather impending, the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars go from Florida up to Port Royal Speedway up in Pennsylvania. They'll race there this weekend, that available on Dirt Vision. And the Extreme Midget Series kicks off their 2023 campaign. Well, they are probably the only smart ones this weekend because they race indoor at DeCoin. You know, they're racing in essentially a stadium. So fortunately for them, weather not pertinent this weekend, but a lot of big names going there. And it's always great to watch some more indoor racing before they head outdoors for the rest of their regular season. And this weekend, if you're around the Carolina region, the Smart Modifieds are at Caraway, and you're going to have to be there in person to watch all of that action. So excited that the short track racing season really starting to fire up, and we'll talk more about it next week here on Short Track Insider.
Man, that's a great segment. I love hearing everything that's going on in the grassroots and short track racing around the country. The Battle of the Stars, it was an interesting moment during that race. I was watching that on Flow, and I think it was Connor Jones. They interviewed him during the race, and he had this freaking terrible interview. He was like, so they're at a racetrack where there's 200 laps and the tires wear out, right? And everybody's saving tires, right? They're saving tires is part of racing, right? There's some racetracks that are very abrasive and you just don't go out there and run qualifying laps. It's ridiculous, but it's a nice strategy. And so they run sort of, they all have their own idea of how hard they need to run, right? To be able to be good at the end of the race. It is a different way to play the game, and I find it very compelling. They went to interview him, and he said, "This sucks. I hate this kind of racing. Riding around saving tires is stupid." And I thought, what a...
what? Finish that thought.
Oh, man.
What a...
Just, I would have preferred him not all over the show.
Right.
I mean, he's in the show. He's an actor
he's
on
part
the,
of the show.
He's an actor on the stage saying, "Don't watch this. It sucks."
Yeah.
And so, and apparently he didn't do it very well because he didn't win the race. So, Butterbean ends up winning the race. Your buddy.
I like Butterbean.
Yeah, he's doing it, man. He had a good start to the year.
Tiff Powers' husband was the crew chief of that car.
Whoa.
Yeah, Doug Powers. That's the reason Butterbean won. Man, Doug Powers.
He's working for the wrong team.
Tiff Powers is our head of content here at Dirty Mo Media. So Doug Powers out there getting it done in the late models.
Well, I look, Butterbean's the threat to win this Cars Tour championship, the way he's been running with Lee Pulliam and that team. But I was sitting there thinking, come on, kid, what are you doing? You're ruining the show with that kind of conversation and talk. I mean, if you're frustrated and you don't like doing this style of racing, that's one thing, but keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Anyways, the Short Track Insider, man, is going to come to you as often as I can encourage it. And Hannah's doing a wonderful job for us there.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
So we have a new segment here on the download. It's called It's Viral. We're going to take some crazy viral stories from the internet, react to them, and then flip it around on us.
Oh.
So you guys ready?
Yeah, let's hear this.
So there's an XFL quarterback. His name's Quentin Dormandy. And he was released after he allegedly gave the opposing team his team's playbook that they were playing this weekend. Now, the league's still reviewing the situation and investigating it, but he was released. So, clearly the team investigated it and decided to cut him. So, what would it take you guys to, how much would it take money-wise, or what would it take for you to be a traitor to your own team?
Did he get money for that?
Allegedly he did.
Sell it or give it?
Sell it.
So, we think he took money.
In exchange for it. He was a backup quarterback, so probably got paid off more than he was making.
I have setup sheets from HMS from 08 to 2013. I mean, I have a filing cabinet full of setup sheets, man, everything on there. Every time we would get, we would get all this information mailed to us and I'd print it all out, and it's very, I would never let that get in the wrong hands, even today. This information that is literally a decade old, I would be very uncomfortable with like posting it anywhere on social, even though the information is outdated. It's sort of the optics of, it's basically kind of, in my opinion, like screenshotting a text conversation that you're having with somebody and then putting that in your Instagram feed without that person knowing. And even if it's harmless, you didn't ask them, right? You got to ask somebody to bring them on that journey so that they know, hey man, I don't think this is funny. And I'm going to share this with the world. And So if I won't even do that, if I'm even uncomfortable with that, and this is 10 years old, this information about our cars, I can't imagine what would make somebody want to take information that's current and that's so valuable and give it to the competition. You know, when you're doing that, that you're pretty much committing career suicide. Am I right? I mean, no, he's unhireable now.
Right, but I can imagine a scenario that would put you into that situation to do it. I'm not saying you would do it if it was just, you know, just a straight up sell. But like, yeah. I mean, listen, yes, none of us would do that. That's traitorous is what that would do.
Yes.
However, the question is there a situation in which you would consider being a traitor?
No.
In the end, well, if the head coach had publicly told me that I was, or publicly said to the world that I'm a no good piece of shit, and that he cannot wait for my contract to expire so he could get rid of me so he never has to see me again. And also, if I was not playing and that everybody around me, I hated them.
I tell you what.
And they offered me $100 million.
Well, you know, I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
There's a situation in which I would consider being a traitor.
Everything's got a price tag.
That's my point.
Yeah.
He said, Dale said, I can't imagine a situation. Well, I'm just saying, I can imagine a situation.
Yeah. All right. You win. I think, you know, if the other team hired me and I just happened to have the playbook. Look, if another team hires you, you're absolutely taking all the information that you have and you're going to give it to them. Hand it to them. Yeah. You ain't even going to have to pay me for that.
Wow. Now that's bold.
Yeah. That is different.
That but happens in the NFL.
Yeah.
Always, all the time.
But how many times does a team pick up a player from the opposing team they're getting ready to play?
Yeah.
Well, that's why you have to change your signs, right?
So this guy might not have done his due diligence. And he just might have gave it before they signed him. And like, well, we don't need you now. We have the playbook.
So I think I've established this.
Okay.
All right. I would not give information that I have to any competitor unless I have became part of that team. Now, if I get hired by that team and I'm part of that team and I have information on the team that just let me go and that we're going to have to eventually play, I'm sharing that information.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, that's why there's no, you know, there's those year-long or two-year-long no hire clauses. When the crew chief gets fired, he can't go back and, or, you know, if a guy gets let go, he can't get hired immediately by the opposing race shop. You know, there's sort of rules in the contracts and so forth.
Yeah, non-disclosure.
Yeah, and so I mean that's why those exist, because it's totally, I guess, acceptable that if the guy didn't have a non-disclosure, then he's going to go take that information. And that's nothing. And that's not bad on him.
So you're saying, if instead of retiring at Hendrick, you would have been hired by Richard Childress to go there and run a car, you would those setup sheets that you have in your possession, you would give them up?
Yeah.
Hmm.
If I thought they were going to make me fast and win, I'm at a new job, and I've got information. You think I'm just going to keep that in my pocket?
I don't know. You said earlier like you couldn't imagine a situation, so it sounds like you found one.
Yeah, well, I was at first imagining not being hired by the other team.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're kind of getting in the weeds, but I feel like that.
I'm learning a lot.
You've
I'm learning a lot about you.
I wouldn't give the information up just to somebody. I wouldn't give the information up to somebody else because they're the opposing team still. Even though I'm fired by this other team or let go by this other team, they're still the competition to me. I don't want them to win. I don't want them to have success on because of something I did, and I'm not going to benefit from it. And so even if they're paying me money, I still feel like a snake.
Yeah.
And so, but if they hired me and said, man, we're hiring you to come to this team, if you have information to make us better or yourself better, you're gonna use it.
You know how NFL team or not college teams, they'll hold up that poster board and it has like random things like Dwight Schrute and then like a piece of you know, cake and then all this stuff. All you're needing to know is what to look at, right? And when a team goes to another team, I always wondered, you know, if they went and shared like, hey, look, if they hold up a poster board with a lava lamp on it, that means they're running the ball. you know, or something like that. And I know that's also why the teams, what I would assume, change up their signs, right? But that seemed to be like something you could share with another team if you go to the other team.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, 100%.
It's not only the playbook, it's just the things that activate certain, you know, pictures. Anyways.
Yeah. All right.
A Canadian woman and a cardiologist from Georgia won the annual conch shell blowing contest in Key West this past weekend. Brian Cardis of Macon, Georgia played Jimmy Buffett's fins, while Carol of Ontario blew her conch the loudest and longest compared to her competitors. Now you're judged off the quality, duration, and loudness produced. And another man also played Hound Dog by Elvis Presley in one. So my question for you guys is, what's the most obscure competition or event you've been a part of or attended? And have you ever won anything from that?
That's pretty obscure.
Yeah. First of all, I don't think it's pronounced conch.
I think it's
conch shell.
Conch?
I thought you said conch.
Yeah.
I'm going to
say conch.
Yeah, I did say conch.
It's conch.
It's conch.
Conch shell?
Okay. Yeah. So your question is, what's the most...
And you're leaving that in.
Yes, you are. Okay, so the question is, what obscure...
What's the most obscure competition or event you've been a part of, and have you ever won anything from that?
No.
You need an example?
I was a judge at a Hooters pageant, but, I mean, that was pretty random.
Dang, that's not a bad gig.
Yeah. I think I did that twice.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I didn't get to go to that.
I don't know. I didn't ever get into nothing too obscure.
There's been some obscure random crap that has been requested of Dale
I will
that
say
he
this,
turned
that,
down, yeah. And rightfully so.
That's what I thought.
I will say this. So I worked with Martin Truex Jr.'s foundation, and they once took us into a we sat down with all the kids that they were working with, some of their patient heroes, and me and my wife and other drivers and wives and everybody, and we sit down, and the goal is that this is the job, you know, the task at hand was to paint a sandcastle, mm-hmm. right? And that was a competition that I've won. I had best sandcastle.
This has been a very beach theme. Now it's making sense. He said on Tuesday, you know, that he went to the beach. That's a good point.
So I have the one I painted still, and I have Amy's too, and I keep them. And she doesn't like that, but I keep them. I've got them hung up in the garage in my house. And it wasn't an official competition. It was probably just a competition that I was in.
Yeah.
No one else was actually knew what was happening at the time.
I like your chances to win those.
Yes.
Those are good. I just thought of one in college at a bar. We had a bit of a karaoke competition, but it was sitcom theme songs. You had to sing, and it was a performance. And I didn't win, but I should have.
What did you sing?
I sang the theme song to Different Strokes. Mm-hmm. Now the world does. Remember that one? No. You remember Different Strokes?
I need another second or two on that.
Now the world does. To the beat of just one drummer. But might be right for you, but not be right for some. Right. A man is born. Anybody? Nothing?
Nope. Nothing. But I hear you, man. Okay, you sang it.
Different strokes it takes. Different strokes. Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you. I was in a Halloween costume.
Yes, in Vegas.
Yeah. I was in a Halloween costume.
It was a costume contest. Yeah.
Yeah. I was looking for the word. A Halloween costume contest in Vegas in a club. And so me and my buddies were in Vegas, and it was Halloween. We're going to go party. And it had not dawned on us that, everybody in the club's going to be dressed up. It's Halloween. We thought we're just in town, and it just happened to be Halloween. We weren't going there for Halloween, but we're like, well, we can't be only ones in the club not dressed up. So what are we going to do? Well, we happened to be watching the Reservoir Dogs on TV. And I said, man, we're going to the store. We're all buying suits, and we're all going to get all the gear. We talked to the butler downstairs. He got us all nameplates, name tags made, Mr. Orange, Mr. Blue, Mr. Pink. We got all the same sunglasses. We all went to Men's Warehouse or wherever and bought suits. And we even had like the gun holsters and all the stuff. And so we went to, we're like, okay, now this is good enough. we're not going to look like a couple, like a bunch of assholes not dressed up at the party. We get to the party, and they're going to have a contest. We didn't know that. The people are coming into the clubs with their only intention is to be there to win the contest, right? So they show up 5 minutes before the contest starts, enter the contest, win or lose, and leave and go to the next club to try to enter that contest. Wow. And there's thousands of dollars on the line. And their outfits were eccentric and full on, like Hollywood perfect. There was a Wizard of Oz group, and I mean, they were decked. They had spent a load of time on this. Hell, they might have flown in from LA, for all I know, just to do this shit. But it was like $4,000 if you won. And so they would pop in, and everybody's like, holy shit. They stood out like a sore thumb. And so we're all standing there going, damn, look at these guys. No, they're going to win the contest for sure. And so the waiter or somebody that runs the bar comes over and goes, do you guys want to enter the contest? And we're like, what? And this lousy shit? We're not, we're not that, you know, is it even obvious what we are?
Right.
We're having, you know, we felt like you'd have to explain it to anybody. And the guy's like, oh, we'll tell everybody that you're the Reservoir Dogs. It'll make sense. Just go, you wanted to enter? And we're like, fine, we're entering. There were only like five people or five groups that entered to win three spots. And we were the fifth worst by a long shot. There were the other costumes were beyond eccentric and really over the top. The Wizard of Oz wins first place, and they get like $2,000-$4,000 or something. They immediately win, get their money, and leave. Go to the next bar. They've got a plan. They know,
probably got another contest.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they know by talking to the other clubs when their contests are going to happen. They go to each one to try to win as much as they can.
Yeah.
And we finished second, and there's no way we should have, but we ended up getting second. And won $1,000 or something.
Wow.
We took it out to the roulette, walked right out of the club, right to the roulette table, and doubled it on black.
Wow.
Oh, you put all $1,000 on one color and you doubled it?
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Gosh.
Yeah, wild night.
Yeah.
That is fun. Yeah, that was J.R. Rhodes, yourself. I think Muscles, Chris Long. Yeah. I don't know if he's
Bubba and Sean Brawley.
Sean Brawley and Brandon Sucks.
Yeah. T.J. Majors.
Well, that's more than five now, but I think maybe they was there.
I can't remember.
But yeah, that's
maybe TJ wasn't. Anyways, yeah, there you go. That's a fun segment, man.
You like that?
It's viral.
Yeah.
There you go. It's way better than what you called the show.
We're trying them
Honey
all.
Honey Roast.
We're trying them all.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
So, do we want to, you know, if you listen to the episode we did that was live from Daytona, we talked to Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus about Project 56 and, or whatever that's, what is it, Project 56? What is it called?
Garage 56.
Garage 56, yeah. So, they're going to, you know, go to Le Mans and race this car, the next gen car. We got invited to go, right? Go there and have a live show, right?
Yeah.
Mike?
Yeah, we did get invited.
Yeah.
I'm curious if you're
Junior Download.
Yeah.
Going to Le Mans. And we felt like in that moment, we were really honored by that invitation.
In that moment and in the moments afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm felt honored.
Yeah. But are we? And then we walk out of the building, and Mike looks at me and goes, are we really going?
I'm still wondering, actually.
I am, too.
So we haven't made a decision?
No, we haven't made a decision. We haven't talked about this, and you know this.
I know this, but I'm also doing a podcast where we're trying to talk about it. So I'm saying, have we made a decision? So do we want to make one now?
Our wives aren't here. I can't make these types of decisions without making sure the kids can go, the wife has all the things. You know, it's not just I'm just going to jump on a plane and head on over there.
I got it. So
it's a big production.
This is the dilemma we are in. And Alex, jump in if you have an opinion here. We on the show accepted that invitation loudly and proudly and said, we're there. I think that's what Dale's alluding to. We said,
we did.
Yes, we are there.
We did.
Afterwards, we go, are we really going? And that's the other way to ask that question is, do we get a hall pass to go to France? And do we get a hall pass to go without our wives? Or do we get a hall pass if we invite our wives and family? And so Dale's saying, no, we don't get a hall pass if we don't bring them. So the question is then, are we bringing our wives and our kids?
I'm probably going to have to bring the kids.
So I bet you that's not what they offered us.
Nope.
I doubt it.
I don't think that they're trying to do the all-expense-paid-for vacation trip for two families of four.
Yeah.
Total eight people to go to Le Mans, maybe check out a race just to do a podcast.
We better go home and get this sorted out.
Yeah. Have you even brought it up to Amy?
Yeah. We've talked about it, but, I mean, it's coming quick.
It is in June, isn't
it? So, we need to sort this out. I'm thinking it's unlikely for me to get there this year.
But, I think you're right.
Yeah. But man,
you know what?
What an incredible opportunity we're passing up if we don't go.
Right.
We got to continue to work on it. We're going to keep working on it. Okay, everybody. It's been a great week here at Dirty Mo Media. Action's detrimental. Door bumper clear coming out on Monday. We've had a good run here for Dale Jr. Download this week with Dirty Air, Tyler Reddick, and now our Thursday show is wrapping up. Don't forget today as well. You have Dirty Mo Dough with Steve Letarte. Make sure you check out all the stuff we got going on here, Speed Street and everything else that's happening at Dirty Mo Media. Thanks for all the support. Hope you've enjoyed this week. Everybody have some good luck there in Phoenix. Hopefully all the racers enjoy what they're doing, and we have some great racing on the racetrack. And, until we see you, we'll see you. Check out Dirty Mo Media. Check out Dirty Mo Media on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram.